We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're going to play on and stand strong with Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Pump up the volume. It's time to play ball.
The cat's out of the bag. Thanks a lot, 5 to 6 a.m. The big surprise today, Tokyo Jim Cosimore in for Dan Dibley, who is traveling to Bandon, Oregon. He's going to go play the greatest golf complex in the country. Happy birthday, Dibs, which is actually tomorrow. So, Coz, you're in the next few days. I was going to do a big thing, but
Sorry. You
came in with the early show and kind of blew it.
Well, I didn't want to talk. It's to blame Steven on that one, which is easy to do. I'm going to blame nice guy Steven.
You couldn't grind out just 1 hour? Nice guy, you needed an extra guest at the end. Even Anna's back today.
With my heart,
he tries to get his headset on and join this program. You see, this is, we're calling you up right now.
Look, man, when Jim Cosimore pops in, it's impossible to not try and talk to him because he's just such a welcoming person. You see that hoodie that he's wearing? Look at that thing.
This thing is sweet. This is straight out of Canada, baby.
There's only two things he's dressed to do right now: radio and panhandle. Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Nice. Coz is in with us today.
That's a good start.
Great to have you guys with us. Speaking of your social media, the joke of, first and foremost, get Burrow off the TV. Get the post.
He's my new best friend. You don't know this?
Get Burrow off the TV. If I've got to turn to the right, I've got to face the, yeah, he is. And he's still strikingly handsome. I can admit it. But get him off the TV now. I'm not watching. I had to watch the post game with him last night. He was dynamite. But I don't want to see it. Not on this program.
He's my new best friend. I worked with him last weekend.
Oh,
he was a great guy. You want him on the show?
Yeah.
I can get him on the show.
Oh, my God.
Not really, no.
Can you really, Coz?
He's got a lifetime ban. It's he can't come on the show. He's been lifetime banned from the show.
He's a great guy. I'd love to have him on with you.
Oh, yeah? Why do you like him so much?
You know what? He's just friendly. I was recently in an auto accident. He heard about it. He brought this aromatherapy neck pillow cushion.
Really? That's right. I forgot about that.
Remember, you were in the office, and I'm walking around with this aromatherapy. He went and heated it up for me. He's a sweetheart, Joey, really.
First of all, is that true? The accident, we all know.
I was
in the
room.
That's a really nice thing to do.
It really was. And he was, because I came in the second day, and he goes, "Hey, I got something for you." He was all excited about it. He goes, "Look at this. It's an aromatherapy pillow. You heat it up in the microwave." You went and heated it up.
Wow.
And then he came and he put it around my neck. He goes,
"Put it on your neck.
Sit there."
He even put it on your
neck.
Yeah,
he put it on my neck. He's that kind of guy.
Odd, a bit of a crossing of a line, if you ask me, putting your hands on another employee. Might want to look into that, HR.
Go to HR.
Yeah, might want to look into that. But it's great to have you in. I like the fact that Nice Guy talks about how it's infectious. It's difficult to not talk to you when you're in. You're always smiling. And that's where the Tokyo Jim nickname comes from. Social media can be used in a variety of different ways. A lot of people use it to complain. A lot of people use it to bash the airlines. Every time I come across your social media, you're having a good time. The family's over in Tokyo. You documented it. Every picture was people smiling.
Yes.
So that's why you got the nickname. It's a positive nickname. It seemed like you guys had a great time over there.
We had a fabulous time. Those are the fake family pictures, you know, where you kind of force everyone, you cattle prod them into smiling. And then as soon as the picture is taken, they are back into fighting the whole time. But I tried to document the whole trip. If anyone has ever thought of going to Japan, go. I'd love to talk to you about my trip. It was a fabulous time. Each city different than the next, and a real wonderful experience for everybody.
Little language
barrier. Lo's been there. Little language barrier.
Yeah, don't you think, Coz?
Well, as opposed to when, you know, you go to France or Germany or Russia or but literally any other country that doesn't speak English.
A nice,
it's not
clean, orderly country. In fact, one time, speaking
orderly,
of that. I know.
That's the most important thing.
Oh, that's
honey,
huge.
Where do you want to go somewhere this summer? It's got to be orderly.
That's me.
Right.
That is me. A great story about that language barrier. We tried to get directions somewhere. My wife was talking to someone who didn't know English very well. He explained where we had to go on the train station. 10 minutes later, we're waiting for our train. The guy walks up to our family, and he said, "I just wanted to make sure you guys got to the right place to get to the right train.
That's awesome. He goes,
you're at the right track. You guys have a great stay in Japan. And he goes on his day.
Sounds like the Pat Burrell of Japan.
Wow.
Exactly.
Japanese Pat.
They have phones now that you can put it on the language and it
that's how we got through. I had the translate.
Yeah.
And I would talk into my phone. It would translate into Japanese. I'd show it to people behind the counter. We'd get things done.
Yeah, it wasn't that
you just
way
holding your phone up to
people? Yes, I was.
Read this and then answer in English.
Right. Yeah. When I was in Japan, we didn't have that. I didn't have that luxury. I went twice in 1 year.
Did you?
Yeah.
What were you doing there?
Sumo wrestling, believe it or not.
I mean, it looks like you came from sumo
wrestling. I worked hard to go to a sumo match. I just couldn't get there the day I did, but I watched sumo.
It's big there.
While I was there, one of the two-week tournaments was going on in July, and I watched it every night.
I'm aware that sumo wrestling is big in Japan.
Coach, he's
not a revelation when you look at me like that.
Joe's aware of that.
You'd also like baseball. Weekday baseball starts at 6 p.m.
Wow.
And it starts at 6 p.m., not 6:10, not 6:15. When it says 6, it starts at 6. Everyone on the field geared up and ready to go.
Orderly.
Orderly,
as
baby.
You like it.
That's how I live.
Speaking of baseball, let's start right here.
And it wasn't easy. And Will Smith strikes out the side. A 22-minute half inning. Had him all the way.
Shout out NBC Sports Bay Area for the audio. Hey, Will Smith, some of us bet that game. Wrap it up. Wrap it up. If you had the Giants in the game or you had the under, you're sitting there sweating. It was like 35 pitches, 22 minutes. I missed 3 birthdays over the course of it. But when it's all said and done, Giants 3, Oakland 2, score the first round of this year's Bay Bridge series for the guys from the West. The second game will be a day game today. I got a big-time moneymaker for you today. Big time. We made money yesterday on the under. We're going to make money again today. But this was nothing more than a very solid baseball team played by two competitive teams. We could sit here and nitpick. It was a fun game last night.
It was a great game. I was glued to the TV. Madison was unbelievable. You know, this guy was able to let it rip, really held it down. Surprised that he could go that long. You looked at what he was doing. I thought both pitchers pitched well. There's that third baseman jumps up to try to make that catch. And that sixth inning, you know, they make that catch. It's 1-1. You know, this was a very, very competitive game. Like you said, Will Smith, what he was able to do, he had you in a nail biter on the edge of your seat. You're like, Will, when are you going to get out of this inning? I mean, 30-some pitches, and he was throwing that strike to the outside, a fastball outside. Guys were just caught just looking at it, couldn't get that curve working. But he had that going. Very, very competitive game. It was big win for the Giants and Battle of the Bays. It's a real viral.
How much of that is because there's a dislike between the Giants and the A's and the Giants fans and the A's fans, and how much of that is because both teams theoretically are in the thick of a fight for a wild card spot? You know what I mean? How much of this is if these two teams were not into a wild card race, would we have still had the same feeling because it's Giants A's?
No, you're absolutely right.
You don't think
right.
So?
No.
Because they're fighting for something. So that's why you think it had a little different edge.
That and then on a much more zoomed in scale, more micro scale, the idea that it was Bumgarner who has been pitching out of his mind against a lineup that hits lefties really, really well. That was the game within the game that I was looking for last night. We talked about this yesterday, why we like the under. Two lefties going on National Left-Handed Day. It's not like that was planned. I just felt like I needed to get that in there.
Good job.
Two lefties on National Left-Handed Day. Brett Anderson went into that game, I believe, ranked 7th of all Major League Baseball qualified starters, which was a little over 60 in terms of ground ball rate. Ball's on the ground, it can't leave the yard. So you like the idea behind that A's defense of limiting the Giants' runs, which, let's be honest, the Giants ranked 29th in Major League Baseball in WOBA. That's a big stat around here, Coz. WOBA, weighted on-base average against left-handed pitching. So you knew the Giants were going to struggle to put runs on the board, but the key was a good lineup, a robust lineup against left-handed pitching and a red-hot left-handed pitcher, and who was going to win that battle. And outside of Piscotty's little 1-2 Texas shuffle in and out of the box last night early on to get Bumgarner rattled, outside of that home run, that was it. If Bumgarner's mowing these guys down, and this is a legitimate lineup right now, this is as good as we've seen him in a regular season.
So is it then the next step is, did Farhan Zaidi make the right call to keep Madison Bumgarner and make a run this year to make his fan base think, you know what, I know you think I'm over here working some magic behind the curtain, but I'm able to shuffle enough guys to keep us in the thick of it, and now I know I've got horses who I can count on down the stretch. Or did he maybe cut his nose to spite his face and do something that is going to hurt them in the next 2, 3, 4 years.
It's crazy. It's interesting you say that because I was on the opposite side. Watching Madison pitch last night, I was like, did Billy Beane, should he now, does he understand you have a frontline pitcher because you have a pretty good team in a one-game series? This is what, Joe, you've been alluding to, having a guy that in a one game you got a horse like Madison. You're talking about being all in. This is that pot halfway full, this glass half full or half empty.
So the Giants have their wild card guy. They know who it is.
Yeah,
but on the other side,
exactly,
it's a roll of the dice.
And you had an opportunity to go ahead and give up something this year because you had the bats in the A's. Go and get a frontline pitcher.
Deeper farm system.
Exactly.
I think the answer to that question is going to be revealed in the offseason when he re-signs with the Giants on a discount. And then everyone's going to go, oh, okay, this makes sense
you
for
think
literally
he'll do
everyone
that?
Involved.
You think he'll do that?
I think he loves it too much. I didn't think that
wow.
up until the last few weeks, every time he talks to somebody leading up to the trade deadline, I don't want to talk about any of that. We're here to win. I love this city. And then the second he got past the trade deadline and everyone asked what he thought, he kept saying the same thing. I love it here. I enjoy it here. All that key stuff. I think when it's all said and done, I don't think he's going to want to start over in a place like Boston or New York. He's not a man chasing every last dollar. He understands the value of what he's worth, but he also understands the value of happiness. And if he's happy here, he's probably going to work on something in which the organization will compensate him, but it won't be through the roof. And in that regard, everyone's going to come away a winner.
I'd like to know.
I'm sorry, Coz. We're all out of time.
Ah, look at you. Look at
That's
you.
That's not
you
what
saw
it says on
coming
my screen.
In hot. If nothing else, Coz, this show is orderly.
It
it's
is
an
orderly.
Orderly
I give you
show,
credit with
and
that.
For you to try to blow through the out like that, very disorderly.
I wanted that.
On your behalf, very nicely done. Look at you, razor sharp this morning. All right, more Bay Area baseball talk. We're going to go right into the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. What did you guys think of the strike zone last night? Very interesting. We'll have our thoughts on that and more next. Plus, a big money maker for you during today's game. It's Joe Lo and Dibs back in a flash with Jim Cozumore here on 95.7 The Game.
Continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right. Where do you want to begin? We can talk to the text line, Chilton Auto Body 95795. They wanted our thoughts on last night's strike zone, or we can do a moneymaker. Do you want to do the moneymaker for today, or do you want to start with the strike zone?
I like making money.
Let's make some money.
So do I. That's why it's going to go second, because we're going to make people wait for it.
I like it.
Classic radio technique
like
right there.
Good
classic
work.
Tease. Classic
Solid
tease.
Work.
Nice. Orderly programming. Joe Lowe. That's
our new tagline.
Jim some more in for Dibs today. Start with the strike zone. You and I were just getting into it during the break. What did you think last night?
Thought I was very friendly. I thought you saw Will Smith. You know, Will, he was struggling. And I thought there was a couple got bailed out. And you saw it both ways. You saw, you know, with the A's pitchers as well. But That ninth inning, you saw some of those strikes that was called outside. It was clearly, you know, balls, in my opinion. You looked at them framing up, and it's like, wow, it was totally outside. But I just thought that he battled, could have easy broke, but he didn't. So I thought the strike zone was very friendly.
You noticed it. It felt like it was friendly both
it was
ways.
A little loosey-goosey.
But I'm sure if you're on one side versus the other, you're going to claim that the other side had it better. It's understandable. That's the nature of fandom. Completely understandable. But it was quite – friendly is a great word. Friendly is a great word to use because there were a lot of times last night – and credit to both sides of the equation. There wasn't any arguing, especially on behalf of the A's, the way they handled themselves last night. There were several moments in that game where the pitch lands outside the zone.
Yeah.
It's called a strike. The player in question late in the game, Crush, had one of these. Turn around. You kind of look at the ump, but then you just go right back to your business.
Yeah.
You understand the gravity of the situation. Whether or not either team or both make it to the playoffs, for them – this, at least in my opinion, is a playoff game. Do you think they view these as playoff games?
I think they do. I think they know that the urgency of every night, in particular, it doesn't matter if they're playing, either team is playing within their region or if they're playing the Angels or if they're playing the Royals. I think for the A's, they know it's a playoff game every night. And the same thing for the Giants. But I do think it takes on an extra level of relevance when it is within the region. I want to get back to the strike zone on a couple of levels. Sometimes, like you said, a batter will look back at the home plate umpire. Sometimes that's to gain information. Might just say, outer corner, because that gives the hitter a little idea of how far the ump is going to call that.
Great
if
call.
If it goes to both sides, the pitcher is going to test to see how far outside he can throw it to see how far he can get the call. But the hitter might turn around and say, Did he catch the corner? If he said yes, now the hitter knows. Well, he's going to give him maybe an inch or two outside the corner. So sometimes watch the game within the game and how it's going to be played.
Yeah, I think that that's fair and balanced. But also you look and you can see the expression on their face. They're outside, it was the outside corner. What are you looking at? I mean, you could tell.
Oh, okay, it was the sarcastic look.
No question. You saw some of them.
Did they have the box up? Did they have on the TV screen? Yes. Did they have the box up? I don't like using that as my determining factor as to whether or not it's a ball or a strike.
Why?
Though.
Why? It's universally the same for everyone.
It's ridiculous.
It's nothing but fair.
It's nothing but unfair.
How is it? Okay.
Because
this is gonna
be good. Oh, I know. Because it dots where the ball is caught, not where the ball goes through the strike zone.
Okay.
Now there's the difference.
Okay. So you're talking about, and I get this, and you're right, especially on sliders.
So let's end it then, right.
You watch the slider cutting through. If it's a lefty throwing it, the lower right portion of the box, but it's caught outside and it's ruled a strike, and you're like, what are you talking about? It crossed through the plate. It went over the plate in the strike zone. Yes, in those occasions, I get what you're saying. But come on, by and large, that thing's a great thing to have.
Oh, that thing, all it does is create angst and arguing over every call.
Time out, Joe.
And it's the same size box, whether it's a 5'4" hitter or a 6'4" hitter.
No. If Dibs was here, Joe, you would have not let that go. You watch that strike, and it shows the ball when it leaves his hand, and it shows the line before it go. Yeah, it shows you where he frames it and catches. I see that, but it also shows it where it goes into the strike zone. And if the ball goes through the strike zone and then goes out, that is a strike. I'm totally 1,000%
agree.
But the ball is going through the strike zone, and then it goes falls
they
off.
They don't give you a three-dimensional view from up top.
I can't believe that you let that layup go. That was a layup.
You're doing advanced physics
it's
this
early.
Morning.
It's early. I'm going to be working with him several days. Okay. We had the avocado toast discussion this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Raising it. But no, that doesn't mean you can't go at him.
Yeah. Jim, you know me. And you. It's crazy.
I'm coming over the table if it continues like this. And it's the first day.
Okay, honestly. Did you not see that the strike zone, they show the ball coming in.
Yeah.
They show the line. And yes, I understand you're talking about where the catcher frames it. I get that. And it can look like a ball, but it shows it where it enters the strike zone or if it's not. And those balls last night, didn't enter the strike zone. So I don't understand what you're saying by the frame that you can say was a
ball
strike. You're
referring a lot to the just fastballs that just started outside and ended outside.
That's all.
Yes. And you're making a fair point, too.
And every camera angle isn't directly from behind the pitcher. It's off to a side. So you're already starting with an angular view of what that box looks like.
All right.
I'm getting into advanced physics.
Are you sure you were in Japan or were you in North Korea?
I know.
Very specific with the details you're looking for.
That was painful.
This gives me a great idea, though. Okay. This is the beauty of radio and conversation stumbling into this. Greatest of all the sports or sports-related programming, greatest on screen edition. Okay, so that's probably not what I'm looking to frame, but I'm going to give you some examples because I started writing them down. In baseball, just the square for the strike zone. How do you feel about that versus the yellow line for the first down in football?
Ooh.
Versus, and I'll throw this in, it's sports programming related, but the lower third. We take the lower third for granted. The scrolling score line.
So that's what you're calling the lower third. Yeah, the crawl that goes across your screen.
You work in TV. You would know better than I do. The crawl.
Yeah, we'll refer you can to call it a scroll. You can call it
the white crawl. We'll call it the white crawl, as we're big white claw fans on this program.
I knew that's coming.
Yeah, well, I had to get it in. It's the OJ references, ding, and the white claw references, ding. I covered everything. It's not even 6:30 yet. Okay, so you've got that PTI and what everyone does now. The topics on the right side, virtually every sports show, gives you the idea of what's going to be coming up on the show. What do you rank as the best and the worst? One of the universally accepted worst of all time was the hockey puck, the trailer where the puck was going around the ice so it would be blue, and then the faster it went, it would heat up red. So, because everyone always complained they couldn't follow the puck in hockey. So I think it was Fox put this tailing graphic of where
they
the puck
would go. They had
a chip
implanted inside the center of the puck, and so the technology had it so that you could see it when it came along the near boards. When you couldn't physically see the puck, you could see the dot of the puck and where it was going. I actually thought that was a brilliant revelation to bring new fans to the game, but traditionalists hated it. It lasted one season.
What do you like? When you think about all these things, do you like the...
I've got the greatest single one, but go ahead, Lo.
Mine for me is that strike, that box.
You love the strike zone.
Yeah, because, I mean, the first down... it's
I'm leaving.
Okay, they bring out the sticks and brings out the chain. You get to see where the line is, and like, okay.
But that yellow line's key.
That is pretty huge.
It's definitely key. It's key, but because it's a first down or a fourth down.
But I also like, you know, they're shading the green slightly different now. That's unnecessary. That's an unnecessary touch.
Right.
I don't need to know that it's slightly more green in between the line of scrimmage.
Didn't they red zone it for a while, too? Didn't they red zone it for just a little bit?
Yeah,
that wasn't too good.
It's too much.
But the thing about it, the difference is me is here. That's why, for me, it's easy, the strike zone, because of the square box. Because when it's a first down, once they lay it down and you see the line, you know it's unmutable. You look at it and see the sticks. You see where it's at. And then you say, okay, first down. With the strike zone, you can look at there and it's like, it's for your eyes to see. You're like, how did this guy miss this? Because they're human. Yes, the umpires are human and they miss things. So 707, don't tell me to shut up. Don't tell me it's too early. I don't want to
hear that. Don't worry about the 707.
That's okay.
No, it's not 707.
It's an African country.
No, it's being rude. You don't tell people to shut up. That's wrong, 707. It's just flat out wrong.
It's trying to find where that is.
You have a good morning, 707.
But I will say, Joe, if you
look at
the Chilton Autobody text line, they do give you another example of good technology in sports. Are you much of a golf fan?
Oh, I'm seeing it right now. Yeah. Low, you're already doing too much. Shut up.
Yeah.
Agreed. Is this what you were going to get into? Is this your favorite one?
It's not my favorite, but I think it's a good suggestion.
Well,
both
yes,
the 925 and 408.
Anyways, what don't do you spoil
golf tracker and the. Can I go
golf? You can do the golf tracker, but don't give me your favorite. We're going to hold that for the other side.
I'm going to hold you on the. Okay, good.
The golf tracker's fantastic. Watching the big power
beautiful.
Fade.
Okay.
So do you like that more than the strike zone? Think about it. Low will answer that. We'll talk to John Dickinson. Koza's got his number one, and I've still got a moneymaker for you. And, of course, the moneymaker is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. You're going to bet this pick, you're going to make money, and then you're going to go put it in an account at Fremont Bank. Fremont Bank, you're welcome. You are absolutely welcome for that endorsement. Here is Anna, who's back today with what's coming up on the game.
All right, thanks, Joe. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Dial Pat. It was a Madison Bumgarner versus Brett Anderson pitcher's duel. Round one of the Bay Bridge Series went to Mad Bum and the Giants. San Francisco gets a 3-2 victory. Giants are 3.5 games back in the wild card race, while the A's are 2.5 back in their race. What was the atmosphere last night, and is this Battle of the Bay still a rivalry? Our super reporter, John Dickinson, was at the game. He'll go over the matchup with the guys next on the Football 49ers getting ready to face Denver. And with all the injuries to the Niners' D-line in the preseason, how will this affect the team in the regular season? Joe, Lowe, and Coase will discuss and talk to former Niners Super Bowl champions Randy Cross at 8:30 and then Eric Davis at 9:30. Plus, if things don't work out with Jimmy Garoppolo, could we see Tom Brady come to the 49ers? One of his former teammates thinks it's a possibility, the guys will discuss. This update is sponsored by Dialpad. Dialpad is changing the game for business communication. Host calls and meetings in the cloud, put a business line on your cell phone, and get analytics to make every call smarter. Over 60,000 businesses trust Dialpad to bring their phone system into the 21st century. Visit dialpad.com. Coming up, we also review last night's episode of Hard Knocks. I'm Anna Kagadakis on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, John Dickinson's coming up in just a moment, but Anna wasn't here today, and she missed out on all the fun of the daily trivia question. I gave it to Lowendibs in light of the new schedule that came out for the NBA season. Which NBA team will be traveling the most miles? Lowendibs, I'm pretty sure, guessed like 28 teams before they got it right. It was the most pathetic
more than that
trivia attempt ever, to the point where it's just desperation. Lowe was just throwing names out. He just gave up.
You throwing out the Hornets, maybe?
He was throwing out everything. It was so good, but
you've
then we eventually
been throwing
got
them out right now.
We're going to JD in just a moment. Coase, listen, so he knows the answer. Start throwing them out. Let's see if you can get to it.
So I was saying Memphis. I was saying Miami, Portland.
Just keep saying them, and I'll tell you when.
Wizards. Oh, goodness. OKC. Goodness, who else? I'm trying to think off the top of my head here. Knicks, Nets. Am I still keep going?
Thank
my God.
You. Yeah, it's not the Knicks, but it's the Nets.
I don't know. I'm just mentioning.
They're
a bunch
cab
of
ride away from one another.
That's
she just rolled off eight. Seven, and now she's completely out of
Warriors.
Team.
Warriors.
Again, there's eight.
I know.
And that's a good
Warriors.
Guess.
That's actually a good guess. Yes.
The answer is Utah. The answer is the Utah Jazz. Which I'm pretty sure you would have had 30 guesses and still not gotten
it. Nope, you're right. I wouldn't have gotten it.
That would have been down there with New Orleans and Denver.
Yep.
Right? I tried all those.
Exactly. Well, Bo
practically took his shirt off. He was so flustered. You saw him get his shirt off.
I went to New Orleans. I did all that.
I would have thought New Orleans maybe next to.
All right. He's been kind enough to wait through all this nonsense. Dial pad guest line, 95.7 The Game reporter, John Dickinson joining us here on 95.7 The Game. JD, you're at Oracle Park last night for the first of four games between the A's and the Giants. Take us through the atmosphere. You cover as many games, if not more, than everybody in town when it comes to these local sports teams. What was the atmosphere like last night for this game versus other run-of-the-mill type Giants games?
It's just tremendous atmosphere. And granted, the atmosphere has been better lately for the Giants as they've climbed back into this race, and they've had some high-level opponents in. The Phillies have been in. The Cubs have been in during this run where the Giants have been hot, and the atmosphere is usually pretty good. The Mets bring a nice atmosphere with a lot of their fans coming in. But it's always funny to me how both sides downplay this matchup as being just another game, especially the Giants side. But then when you actually watch the game play out, and it's as terrific a ball game as last night's game was, and with the mixture of fans from both sides in the ballpark, it does take on that playoff feel as the game goes on, to where, I mean, the ninth inning last night was just great theater with Will Smith trying to get out of his own jam, and, you know, Garneau bloops one in, and all of a sudden it's amazing that lineup that the A's put out there. All of a sudden Davis is up and Simeon's up and Chapman's up, but it's a two-run game, and you're thinking any one of these guys can hit a home run and win the game essentially for the A's, and then he winds up with the bases loaded. I mean, and everybody's standing. It was fantastic, fantastic stuff. And it makes me wonder if at some point, I know every 3 years right now with the way the schedule is, they play six times, but I just wonder if Major League Baseball looks at an atmosphere like last night, looks at how it is at the Coliseum and thinks, we need to get even more of that if we can, in terms of maybe tweaking the schedule where it's certainly more than four, maybe even tweak it up and try and get it where it's maybe four times a year these teams play. You start getting into that 8-12 game range head-to-head just to create a little bit more juice at different points throughout the regular season.
Well, I know when John Morosi was on with Joe Lo and Dibs yesterday, he brought up the idea of having the same teams in the same division, which would make it about 18 times a year, which would really ramp it up. You gave us the atmosphere inside the ballpark. Now, after the game, 3-2 finish, a real gut-wrencher. Everyone's sweating it out to the final out of the ball game. I know baseball's a daily grind, JD, but you're in the clubhouse. Do you sense the players treating this any differently, or are they thinking it's just one of 162?
I think it's more one of 162, and again, I mean, it's, I think it's more, it's a bigger deal. You know, Bob Melvin every year says he talks to the guys about the importance of, you know, playing against the Giants. It's a bigger deal on the A's side, I think, just because they're the little brother compared to the Giants, even if there's years, and this year's one of them, where they have the better team coming in. I know both teams are in the race, but let's be honest. I mean, the A's have a more talented squad. They got a better record. They've been a playoff team a year ago. I mean, they're in a better place right now in terms of just overall talent, but they're the team that typically has the game circled, I think, a little bit more on their radar. The Giants actually have a more traditional rival. You know, the A's think every team's their rival. The Giants actually have that traditional rival with the Dodgers, so I think they look at the A's a little bit differently than maybe the A's look at them and the A's look at other teams. The A's, you know, want the Yankees to be their rival, want the Red Sox to be their rival, want the Giants to be their rival, want the Astros and the A's. They want everybody to be their rival because they really don't have a natural rival. So I think the Giants look at it differently. You know, they've got the Dodgers, and those are the big games that they circle and that they know they have to get up for in terms of the fan base. So really, from being in the Giants clubhouse post game, it was deep breath. Could have been a catastrophic loss in the grand scheme of trying to hang in this wild card race and get back to 500. But it is more of on to the next in the grander scheme of, okay, there's still 42 more of these to go, and the Giants basically have to win you know, every one of them at this point if they're really going to have a shot.
Billy Beane or Farhan, last night, who do you think won? You look at the A's, talking about frontline pitching. Would it behoove them to have went out after Madison for a one-game series? The Giants, by staying put, not trading Madison long-term, is he going to be there? Who, in your opinion, last night served? Who served best?
Well, I mean, I think, look, the Giants have won 9 out of the last 10 Madison Bumgarner starts, so he's been the anchor that they need him to be, really going back since the end of June. You know, he got blown up at Dodger Stadium in that game where they were trolling him before the game, really one of the worst outings of his career. And the Giants since then have won 9 out of his last 10 starts. So he's really been a big part of, you know, holding this team up and pulling them up and trying to have them, you know, make this run. Look, I think Billy Beane understands that you'd like to have that one guy, but I think Billy Beane and David Forst and those guys understand that they went out and got that guy, you know, and it didn't matter. You know, they went and got John Lester 5 years ago, and yeah, they gave up Cespedes to do it, so they changed the complexion of their team, but they had the one guy in the game that he's not supposed to lose, and guess what? He gave it up in an eighth inning that changed the complexion of a game where the A's wound up finding themselves in a dogfight going back and forth in a game that they pretty much lost three or four different times. But John Lester was the guy that was supposed to pull them out. So I think they know maybe better than anybody that there's no guarantee that having that one guy is going to pull you through. Now, that said, would you rather have that guy in the one game than not? I think you would, and I think even last year's an example of that. I mean, they wind up, you know, starting a guy that had been designated for assignment, you know, earlier in that year, and Liam Hendricks as an opener in a huge game at Yankee Stadium, and they wind up, you know, essentially done in that game in the first inning because he couldn't get it done. So I think you want that ace if you have it, but I think the A's have seen when you pay too much of a premium to get it, that can be costly as well, and no guarantee that you're going to have success once you get there.
John Dickinson with us here on 95.7 The Game. JD, we're kind of up against it, but you've been covering Niner camp as well, so I wanted to get your thoughts on this. Garoppolo, how's he look? What's the general sense you're getting? Come week one, should we be expecting a franchise quarterback-esque performance?
Yeah, I don't know that you should expect it week one, but he has looked progressively better as camp has gone on. It's been a little bit shaky that first four-day block. He was better that second day four-day block. He looked pretty good the 3 days leading up to the game against the Cowboys. Yesterday was kind of a practice. It was maybe the least, there was the least amount of stuff going on or takeaways maybe from any day to this point. But there's a lot on his plate with the injuries, Joe, that they've got in other places to where I think they need him to be close to that franchise-level quarterback immediately to help offset some of the other deficiencies and injuries that this team has. Expect him to be at that level week one. I think you're going to maybe have to expect more of a slow build to the tune that he's had throughout camp.
Good stuff. Good stuff, as always. 95.7 The Game reporter John Dickinson with Joe Lowe and Coase here on 95.7 The Game. JD, we know you're busy and we know it's early for you, but thanks for getting up. Thank you for the insights. We'll catch up soon.
You got it, guys.
All right, we got a million things we've been teasing that we haven't gotten to. The moneymaker for tonight's game, Coase's number one pick for great television innovations when it comes to our sports viewing experiences. Think first down line in football. Think strike zone in baseball. All that good stuff. We want your thoughts as well on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. We will take some calls, but we've also got to get to the latest installment of Hard Knocks. All that good stuff coming up next. Joe Lowe and Coase here on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe, Jim Cosmore here on 95.7 The Game. Outstanding to have you with us. There's a lot to get to. A lot to get to today. Going to talk baseball. 3-2 was your final from Oracle last night as the Giants defeat the A's in Game 1 of this year's Bay Bridge Series. We got a moneymaker for you today. It's coming up in a little bit. If you miss it, don't worry. Bet 162. It's the same play. It will be coming out at 9:50 this morning. We've also got some other things cooking, but right now, Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks. We're going to do it at 6:45 and then other times throughout the show every Wednesday coming off the latest episode. Last night, interesting. It's interesting in the sense of how this is being filmed and portrayed and presented to everyone, because the one big complaint coming off episode one, well, there were two. It wasn't exciting enough. There wasn't enough chaos, which I thought was fine. The Raiders don't want to look chaotic. Nobody wants to look chaotic. But there wasn't enough Gruden. And last night was the John Gruden show. They put John Gruden front and center. They highlighted the guy with the biggest personality, the most infectious personality. It was Gruden from start to finish. And that portion of the show was outstanding. Gruden is a great soundbite.
as a coach getting all worked up. Nice guy. You do your Gruden. At some point today, we'll bring you in. We'd love to hear from you on it. I know you can't do it on command. But Coz, the idea of putting him at the forefront, he is, at least, at the very least, he's entertaining.
There's no question that when the guy's on the microphone, he knows how to, I don't know, whether it's give you what you want or he gives you what he thinks you want. But he makes it entertaining, and he makes it informative, and he has his own verbiage and the use of the English language that I think is unique to him and makes it compelling. I don't know, Lo, you're a football guy. I like John Gruden. I liked when he would break down quarterbacks. I liked when he would break down football games. Sometimes even when he said the obvious, I found it intriguing. As a football guy, do you find it the same way with Gruden?
I think he's definitely intriguing. I think that when you're part of the game, is it intriguing and funny? No, just like with your wife, you're not as funny anymore, you know? But everyone else, you're hit.
You're probably the funniest guy to everyone but her, and to her it's...
Exactly.
This guy. Here we go again.
Exactly. Everyone's, oh, you're so funny. You're so, and that's, I think that's what Gruden is. I think that you get him inside the room and inside the players. I don't think everyone thinks it's funny. I think that everyone looks at him as, okay, this guy's doing too much. Is he an eye guy? And a lot of players, sometimes they look at that stuff and some enjoy it and some don't.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So they look at the coach and maybe he's like, oh, yeah, the coach is thinking, I've got the camera on me. It's time for me to shine.
Yeah, yeah.
When the game's about the players.
Exactly.
I'm the coach and I'm also the star.
Right. Yeah.
The Mike Ditka thing.
That's one of the great stories in NFL history.
Yeah, clued me into that back in the day.
Cozy knows all the guys. He tells everyone, hey, look, we're trying to win a Super Bowl, go back to back. I want you guys to lay off all these commercials, leave these endorsements alone. Then he takes the chunky soup. Then he takes
the next day.
He did it the next day.
Yeah, the next day. The guys are, I'm not kidding. Then he just got done with a big meeting with all the guys.
Yeah.
And they were fabulous that one year. 85, where they were an unbelievable juggernaut.
Yeah, yeah. You can't walk down the street in Chicago without someone saying 85. That's all you ever hear when you're in Chicago is 85.
It's true. It's true. And he's like, hey, we have a chance to do something special here that doesn't get done in the National Football League. The next day, he's out there selling chunky soup.
He did it.
He
lost that team. They all say, those players, I talked to Dent and all those guys, they said, reason why we won the Super Bowl is because of Ditka. The reason why we didn't win another one, because of Mike Ditka.
Yeah. That's a famous line.
And he took their endorsement money. Because it's not just that he did his.
Right.
Some other guys were up for some of these things. He said, you guys, stay away from that. We're winning championships. He's getting all the deals.
All of it.
It was gone.
Oh.
And then Buddy Ryan left, and then that whole thing fell apart.
Players couldn't stand him.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. But it's a great story.
Yeah.
And and I'm not saying Gruden is taking it to that extent, but you think that
I'm saying he's got to be careful. Okay. Because he understands, and I think that Gruden is sensitive to that, because he understands, you walk in that stadium, there's more Chucky dolls and what he is and indoor. That Gruden, he understands.
But is that his fault that they haven't been able to put together guys that you can have caricatures of in the crowd?
Ask Khalil Mack that. So I think that you have a situation where you have a guy.
Other than Khalil Mack, have they been able to put a guy in the field?
Yeah.
Oh, no, we'll ask Amari. But it's Amari.
By the way, real quietly, Dak Prescott over-under passing yards this year is like 3680. He missed it as a rookie by 13 yards. He got it last year by more than 200. Look at his splits with and without Amari. Last year without Amari, 202 passing yards a game. With Amari, 274, a massive jump. 10 games in a dome this year. He's durable. He started all 16 games, all three seasons. I broke this down recently. Over 3680 passing yards for Dak Prescott this season.
Yeah.
Just handing out money. That's not even today's moneymaker.
Wow, that was
a freebie. That's just a freebie.
That was, oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's a freebie. I've been doing this. Just, you know, it's Christmas in August.
He likes people. He just likes people.
He's giving away money.
I'm very misunderstood. I'm not very friendly, and yet all I do is hand out ideas, concepts.
No, we know you're angry. Money. The misunderstood part is don't understand why you're giving away the free stuff.
Right.
I think there's a catch to it, Joe.
Yeah.
There's a catch.
And Amari Cooper, man. Amari Cooper, there's a guy that came in the season last year. You know, said this guy's going to get over 1,000 yards when you make that trade. Why? Because you've seen the way that this guy can play. But yeah, Gruden, you're talking about, is he that guy? I think he's got to tread, you know, in the shallow end, understand that his players understand that. And there is a perception. So he's got to be careful about those things. But he is awesome.
Two episodes in, there's two ways I view this installment of Hard Knocks. I look at it as a football analyst type, and then I also look at it as just a fan, someone who wants to be entertained. The football analyst portion of me says, this is how you want it. If you're the Raiders, this is how you want it. you're not really outside of the Antonio Brown thing, which is not your fault. That's Antonio Brown's thing. And, you know, it was portrayed last night. It was simple. They didn't really get into it too much. You saw him at the beginning, then you saw him a little bit at the end, and Gruden addresses it throughout. You look like just an average run-of-the-mill team. I'm not talking in terms of talent or anything. It's like, here's your coach, here are your players, you're going through some practices, not a lot's happening, not a lot of chaos. That's the key. That's what I like as a football analyst. And if you're a Raider fan watching this, that's what you should enjoy. I said this last week. No chaos. You don't look dysfunctional. You don't look sloppy. You don't look messy. You're just a team. The entertainment portion of me, the guy who turns it on because he's really excited about what's going to happen, finds this to be rather boring. And if I wanted this version of Hard Knocks, Detroit would have been just fine. You could have put the Lions up there. I could find out about Stafford and his wife, who he's been with since the University of Georgia. And, you know, maybe it's the new signing and Matt Patricia has the beard and used to work with Bill Belichick. And, like, you could give me those Detroit storylines and I'd be okay because nothing's really happening and I don't really care. Right? The Raiders are something different. Like, people are tuning in because they expect fireworks. They expect the chaos, the dysfunction, all that stuff. They're not getting it. Again, football analyst to me, this is very good for you. But from an entertainment standpoint, it's boring, right? I'm not getting to know any of these players. It seems as if they're going out of their way to prevent anybody from becoming a breakout type personality. Derek Carr was giving some anecdote about proposing to his wife. It was like, all right. Jonathan Abram, the rookie, that's the only rookie you're hearing from. Josh Jacobs from Alabama, haven't heard from him. Cleveland Furl, they talk about, and you got a couple sound bites, not much there. Carl Joseph hasn't said anything. None of the offensive linemen. The fight between Aaron Donald and Gabe Jackson was just a small mention. It didn't even talk about Gabe Jackson getting hurt later in that episode. It was, you know, Sean McVay and the Rams came in and they did a thing on McVay and Gruden and all that, but you're not getting a whole lot. So from an entertainment standpoint, a bit disappointed because there's not a lot going on. But if you're a Raider fan, football analyst standpoint, I'm watching this thinking this is good for you. You're not a laughing stock. You're not a joke. You're not sloppy. You might not be a great team, but you're a team that's trying to build. Mayock's always around, and he's not in a suit trying to look like some front office celebrity type. He's down there mixing it up, talking to the players, being involved in the meetings. Gruden's got his staff together. It looks like they've got things at least organized. So as a Raider fan, I think that's something that you can at least try to hold on to.
But Joe, are we guilty of measuring this against past Hard Knocks shows, or are we guilty of measuring this against other reality TV where all they do every 30 seconds is have someone pitted against someone else and they give you a reaction from somebody else? Do we want it to be that version of reality TV? Now, when I think of the Raiders, you're right. I want Gruden being Gruden. I want Mayock saying Mayock things that only he understands, the verbiage that he uses, but he's interesting to listen to. I want more AB doing crazy things, flying in on his, what was he in?
Hot air balloon. I want eight more AB too.
I want a lot of that stuff, but are past Hard Knocks the same way? You definitely want more of a fight with the Rams in a practice. Right?
Cleveland was very chaotic with Hugh and Haley, Corey Coleman getting traded. Like,
who was
they
the
were
offensive
all over the
line
place.
Coach who became the breakout star, the big fat offensive line coach that the Browns had?
And they took all the huts together, and it just showed his body jiggling.
Yes.
Because he said hut. And when he would say hut, the whole upper body of blubber would just jiggle. It was fantastic.
Jiggle it, baby.
So even just come against on, past Hard Knocks, this is maybe on the more, I don't want to say dull, but on the more measured side compared to other Hard Knocks.
No, that's a very fair point, because when MTV launched The Real World, that used to be something that was like, oh my God, right, can you believe how these people are acting? Today, I think it still exists. No one talks about it because it's not chaotic enough. You have to have everyone fighting and stabbing each other in the back at every turn. When The Bachelor started, it was about love.
Right.
Does that even exist anymore on that show?
No.
Like, that whole show is about just doing whatever you need to do to get noticed. Bernie Sanders was on Joe Rogan's podcast recently. This isn't a political talk, but it highlights kind of the discussion we're having right now. When talking about the debates, they're not debates anymore. They're not debates. You have 30 seconds to come up with a witty soundbite that people will run with. That's it. It's not about laying out your healthcare plan or anything like that. You got 30 seconds. And in those 30 seconds, you need to say something that people can gravitate to on social media. And that's what we've gotten to at the same time with TV. Like, what's the stupid show? The Hills came back. And I was all excited because that was one of my guilty pleasures back in the day. I was a huge Lauren Conrad fan. Right, I love Laguna Beach. Right. I'm going to admit it. So, like, all these characters are coming back. Of course, LC's not coming back because she's normal.
Right.
But the rest of them are back. So I'm like, I cannot wait to watch this dysfunction. It's just not dysfunctional enough. They're forcing it, but it's not good like it was back in the day. They missed their window. That's where we're at. Great point, Coach.
Yeah, see,
great
so point. I think it's maybe it's storytelling that's different. Maybe it's just because it's two episodes in. You want to start to see some of these things grow a little bit more. Hopefully they're not dialing it back because Gruden and Mayock are smart enough TV people that they're not going to give them too much.
Well, I think that you get AB. Once, if AB's there 100%, trust me, he is the biggest. Gruden is a star. He's bigger than any player on the team. And now AB. AB can be bigger than Gruden. You're talking about, do they have a player?
You're right. Absolutely right.
If AB's there and he's practicing, you're not telling me that you don't turn on the TV to watch and watch him talking junk to the DBs and just mutting them and dogging them and just looking at them like...
I hope there's a DB who tries to lip with him. I hope there's one guy who stands up and says, come on, bring it.
Right.
Bring your best. And when he stops him, he just gets all over AB. That's what I want to see.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You want the chaos. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game, but with a twist. Dibs on vacation for the rest of the week. Jim Cozumel in his stead. It's great to have Tokyo Jim with us as we get set to rock through the next 3 hours. Randy Cross, the three-time Super Bowl champ, will join us today at 8:30. Eric Davis, good friend of the program, at 9:05. A reminder that all of our guests appear on the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across existing devices. In case you haven't heard, do you have something? I saw the finger go up, the crooked finger.
Yeah.
I don't want to look at it.
Yeah. You know what? It's interesting, Joe. It's how you acknowledge Jim Cozumel, and then you always say he's in for Dibs, and you give him that respect. You know, if he's out, if you're out, Coz like, oh, Joe's on Joe's management. Joe's management.
That's so untrue. That is fake news.
No, it is true. I've people have told me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't listen, but people have told me.
Yeah, and it's wow. Joe shows you the respect. But, oh, Dibs, you don't go down.
I always say it's Joe. I'm only here for a little bit. Joe's back tomorrow. Last time I did it last Thursday, right? You were out Thursday.
Yeah, I was doing the cardio stuff.
Exactly. It's like 7:15. I'm like, you guys want Joe back by the 8 o'clock hour? I wasn't even gonna last a full 4 hours. Joe was listening. It was going so rotten. He was coming in on his own.
Why don't you tell Dibs? He's on Dibs.
No, it's going real well actually right now with Dibs out. Yeah. I'm feeling good about the show.
Wow. Save that clip for Dibs.
You did all that.
Yeah,
that was you. Just want to make sure when it all circles back, we know where to point the fingers. All right, let's begin the segment right here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.